WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. The first international hit that fused the music of the West and Africa was an infectious tune called Soul Makossa. The man who wrote and performed it is the African-born, French-educated saxophone player Manu Dibango. This is a brand new version of that 1972 hit. It appears on Dibango's new album, Wakafrika. If it sounds familiar, it may be because Michael Jackson used a similar refrain at the end of his song, Wanna Be Startin' Somethin'. Manu Dibango, now 60 years old, was born in the West African nation of Cameroon. His father was a civil servant during the time his country was a European colony. When Dibango was 15, he went to France to study. He lives there now with his French wife and children. Dibango has been a leader in bringing together divergent music styles and artists. His new album features artists as diverse as King Sunny Ade, Sinead O'Connor, Peter Gabriel, and Yasu Endor. Manu Dibango is touring in the U.S. now to promote his new record and autobiography, 3 Kilos of Coffee. I asked him what he thought of Michael Jackson using the riff from his song.
You better ask to him if he's available, because he's just married, so maybe he's busy now.
You don't want to talk about that?
Well, I think that he wanted to say hello to Africa somewhere.
But did you mind him taking some of your song to do that?
I must tell you, if I play Duke Ellington songs or if I play Count Basie songs, then I mention this is a Duke Ellington song. No more, no less.
You credit them for where
exactly.
You got the song. And that's what you wanted from him?
No more, no less.
No more, no less. Mm-hmm. Can you describe the town that you grew up in?
Yeah, in that time it was a small, really a small little town. Nearby the sea, Douala, in Cameroon. And I grew up to 15 in a family who desired my coming. So they loved me very much, and I had a beautiful childhood. Childhood, you say, no?
Childhood, yeah.
Yes.
Well, you said you were a child that was loved and wanted. Was that unusual?
Well, somewhere, if you are many women, then you want many children. But if you have only one woman that you need, and you want one, at least one.
So your father had one wife.
Exactly.
And he loved her.
In that time.
Well, now, your parents were from two ethnic groups, two groups that really didn't like each other very much.
You see Kigali?
Kigali?
Yeah, you understand about Kigali, two tribes.
Yes, indeed, in
so
Rwanda.
This is a little, not like that, not exactly that way, but it was like, you see?
Mm-hmm. What effect did that have on you?
The effect that I cannot choose which side I must be with. So this has given me opportunity to go with other people, because I'm not how they say pure 100%.
Now, you went to Paris in 1949, or you went to France in 1949 to study. Mm-hmm. How were you able to do that? How was your family able to arrange that?
Well, you must know that in that time it was normal, because we were French African, or African French. So it was not like going to immigration or something like that. So I was lucky to have a family who could pay study for me in France. Yes.
Tell us about first hearing Louis Armstrong on the radio.
In that time, in France, they used to play Armstrong's songs in radio. So the voice was very impressed me, and the way he was playing trumpet. So I fell in love with him in the early 50s. And I started to learn about this African-American music and so far.
Called jazz, right?
Yes, yes. I was really in love in the early 50s. I was lucky because in that time there was a lot of performers coming in France, and all the heavies, in fact, they are gone now, except maybe Lionel Hampton.
Now, tell us about the effect on your parents of your... Well, I know that they were interested in you studying philosophy when you were in France, and you obviously were much more interested in music. What was the effect on them?
Well, you can't imagine yourself. they did a lot of sacrifice for people to come to be an important man, you see.
Yes.
And what I chose was only music. And in Africa, everybody can play music, so this is not like doing something seriously.
So they were upset.
Very upset.
Yeah,
which is normal. I can understand because they were coming for another type of culture, another type of vision of things. We were colonized, and so far they made it very hard to, you see,
to
be themselves. So it was not easy for them to understand that there can be some kind of vocation outside of administration and so far.
So they wanted you to go to school, get skills, and then come back to Cameroon?
Of course.
And work?
Of course, which is natural.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Let's take a very short break, and then we'll talk some more. Mm-hmm. And my guest on Fresh Air is Manu Dibango. He's a musician, lives in Africa, was born in Cameroon. His latest CD is called Wakafrika. He also has an autobiography, now translated into English, called 3 Kilos of Coffee. He's here in the States for a tour. We'll be back after a very short break. This is Fresh Air. Our guest on Fresh Air today is Manu Dibango, and he's in the States for a tour around the country. When you first went back to Africa, which was, what, in the 1950s, late 1950s?
1960s.
Okay, and you went to Zaire.
I went to Zaire for 1 month, and I spent 2 years.
Well, you talked about discovering American jazz in Paris. Mm-hmm. When you went back to Africa in the 60s, I assume that you also, in a sense, rediscovered some of the African sound, the African music.
Yeah, that's true. That I discovered city's music. Urban music, urban African music. And that time there was a lot of African band calling themselves OK Jazz, African Jazz, Circuit Jazz, everything was jazz. But the music itself, at jazz is, people understand the meaning of jazz here. You see, it was different approach.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz start with people playing and people dancing. There was a communion between feet and fingers.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the beginning of jazz in New Orleans, as everybody knows, in Storyville and so far, with people like King Oliver and et cetera. And later on, Armstrong, who really brought a kind of personality in jazz because he was soloing and so far. But in Africa, what was interesting was this Latin feeling you have in music, because Latin America keep, like Cuba, Brazil, and so far, they keep skins, tam-tam, you see. And here, they didn't allow people in North America to play tam-tam.
So what you found then as a musician coming back to Africa, to Zaire, was you were able to bring some of that music that you heard in Paris
mm-hmm.
that was
influenced
by American jazz, mm-hmm. bring it and combine it with this kind of big drum sound, the kind of rhythms of Africa.
Yeah, drums and guitars, because mm-hmm. a lot of things around guitar in Africa, because of the Portuguese people, they brought guitar in Africa in 14th century. So African people, they start to play guitar in their own way, most close with kora and so far, we are speaking technically. So if you combine that with those drums and the melody, and if you have this type of what I brought from France with between Europe and America, this is a kind of a triangle situation.
Let's talk, if we can, about your new CD, Waka Africa. On the album, there are many different musicians, some of them African, some of them, there's Sinead O'Connor, there's Peter Gabriel, some others as well. How do you put musicians together? And are there certain musicians that you like?
Of course.
In particular?
No, it was like a try to do something by ourselves. I mean, this is a project. And what we need in Africa now is stop talking and action. So concerning the music, are we able, coming from many, many different parts of Africa, are we able to sit down around a project and doing some kind of trip?
Mm-hmm.
This was opportunity to meet people from Senegal to Cape Town, what I call myself musical safari. Mm-hmm. Are we able to do that? Singing each other's songs. If we can do that, maybe in our other field, people can do also have the project in their own. Instead of always talking, complaining, we need more action than talking.
Well, I'd like to play actually the title song of your CD called Waka Africa. And why don't we play it now and then we can talk about it in just a couple of seconds. The songs on this album, is everything written out, or when you are actually playing the music, do you leave room for interpretation?
No, of course, there are a lot of room. That's why yeah. I talk with the people, so that it's easy for everybody to go. But you know, the freedom always needs some rules.
Yeah, and that's the trick, isn't it? Finding just the right kind of rule.
That's the challenge. I mean, you must always save a room for happening. You
yeah.
see, you don't know what's going to happen, so you save a room for that. It's you see, every step is a challenge. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
Every step, really. And it's very exciting before going on studio. Most of the time, in fact, what is interesting is to talk each other, to spend time around coffee, around something like that, talking about a lot of things maybe beside the music.
Mm-hmm.
And then the music comes logically by itself.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us today on Fresh Air.
You're welcome.
Manu Dibango has a new album, Waka Africa, and an autobiography, 3 Kilos of Coffee. This is Fresh Air.